Good evening, Abayisai. Why do we say Aseres Bnei Haman in one go? To get as quick as possible. Okay, nice idea. Chamesh Meis Ish, Vez Pashan Dosa. Have you ever tried to say in one go? Why do we do it in one go? To say as quick as possible. Okay. Another point we'll be discussing today, Mitzvah Hashem, is to what extent we have to be medayek. How important is that the Zekiyah should be accurate? Is he ma'akev? Is he not ma'akev? Is he really essential that the reading should be absolutely accurate? And another point we'll be covering as well is about the nigunim, you know, the tune, the top. It doesn't matter if the top is not, say if somebody wants to hurry up, he wants to just read for, you know, for one person, can he just get on with it and say without the tune, or is the tune really essential? And very importantly as well, we'll be discussing why is it that we say, do you know there's some psukim that we say loud? Mot chayudi. Why do we say them loud? Pardon? Yeah, why? That's right. Well, why do we say them loud? Pesuminissa. That's all part of Pesuminissa. And finally, I should say, finally to this one, and we'll be starting off with that, is the what happens if somebody, we mentioned it briefly the other night, what happens if somebody has listened to the Megillah? He knows he has listened to the Megillah, he kept constantly the finger in the right place, he was following, but he failed to concentrate throughout the entire Megillah. At one point, he knows he was listening, but he wasn't quite sure if he really concentrated and focused throughout the entire Megillah. I think it happens to, you know, you were listening, but something, did we actually see that part already about Haman being taken around, you know, Motcha being taken around the town and Haman stepping it? Did we see this already? Did we not see it? Have we seen it or not seen it? Have we heard or not heard? If somebody knows he listened, but wasn't so focused, not concentrated, did we see that about Zeresh already? No, you know, did we see that? So if somebody is like, has he been Yoitz or not? Does he need to go to a second Megillah later on? Or not? Yeah? Because Mitzvah Tzichus Kavonah. Okay, we'll be starting with that final question, because this is what the Shaila is in Sif Hey of, in Sif Yudalad of here, bottom of page 310. Ha-koira es ha-megillah. Somebody reads the Megillah. Tzorich, he needs to, sheichaven lohoitzi ha-shamea. He needs to have intention to be moitzi the shamea, the one listening. The person who is moitzi needs to have intention to be moitzi the public. Ve-tzorich sheichaven, similarly also the person who listens, tzorich sheichaven ha-shamea, let's say. Similarly, the person who listens, he needs to have kavona to fulfill the mitzvah. Ve-im, continues the Shulchan Aruch, ve'im, and if ha'koyre shliach tzibu, and if the person who is reading for to be moitzi others as well, mistame daitoy, normally his intention is al kol ha'shoyimim, on everybody who is listening, afilim ha'koyre besakness, even if you don't know everybody who is in shul, and there is people who are listening outside the shul by the window, behind the shul, and you may not know about it. Nevertheless, the person who is moitzi, if a person reads the Megillah for others, he's going to have automatically, his default position is that he's going to be moitzi everyone who listens, even if they're not necessarily in shul. So he's going to be moitzi everyone. But we're learning now here two points. Point number one, that the person who reads for the public, he needs to have kavana to be moitzi. And that we just saw now that even if you don't know exactly who is there, who is not there, even if somebody's outside shul, he's going to be moitzi them, that's fine. And the other point is that the shomer, the one listening, also needs to have intention to be yotze. Now he needs to have intention to be yotze by listening. And that's where we need to address the point to exactly understand to what extent does a person need to concentrate throughout the Megillah. The Mishneh Berurah here says the following words. And it's really important. Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Memches says the following. Tzorich sheichaven v'tzorich. V'leikuvahu afilu b'dievet. The intention of being yoitze and being moitzi, that's leikuvah. You're not yoitze if you are lacking kavona. Afilu b'dievet. Even b'dievet. V'zeh akivun hu koidim shemas chilikroi yechaven al kol akriya. A person needs to have kavona both for the person reading and the person listening need to have absolute kavanah at the beginning of the kiyah. V'zelot says v'zelahoitzi v'su ein tzorich lechavim bekol akiyah. This kavanah, says the Mishnah Berurah, the main point of that is to have the kavanah at the beginning of the kiyah. At the beginning of the kiyah, you need to know I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. If halfway in the Megillah you are forgetting about this intention, it doesn't matter. The crucial point is, at the beginning of the kiyah, you need to have the intention of fulfilling the mitzvah. But then he continues. A person needs to concentrate with his ear, to listen, every single word, from the mouth, the one reading. You need to listen to every single word. And if the one reading missed out, or lacked, Afilu teva achas, even one word. V'chein, and similarly, ima shomea, the one listening, chisa teva achas, he missed out one word, he didn't hear one word, lishmoa to hear, loy yotzu, he was not yotzu, but so chlachs, he need to go over it again. Even if one word wasn't said, or wasn't heard, you're not yotzu the kiyah. Not yotzu the kiyah. Quite strong. Even like you'd have to listen again. The Be'er Heitev over here addresses the point that the Mishnah Berurah does not address. And I'd like to read the last few words of the Sifkot Yud Aleph in Be'er Heitev, which is a quotation from Rav Avraham. I don't know why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it, but the Be'er Heitev says, I'm just reading the last few words, if the person listening doesn't hear one word, he's not Yotzeh, but now the following words, but if a person heard, V'loi kiven b'chol teva, but it didn't have focused concentration, b'chol teva, at every word, yotze is yotze, I'm not going to have one. Pardon? Even what? If? Yeah. He's still yotze, so therefore... Some level. You say you don't need to... Right. You're saying that from the fact... Interesting point. Because it points out that since we learned that the person doesn't need to understand the Megillah if it's said in Lashon HaKodesh, that shows us that you don't actually... Obviously, you don't need to understand. You need to have a deep level of Kavanah for everyone because you don't understand it.
It's different levels of consciousness. One's daydreaming and one's not understanding.
Very good. I think that's a very good point. What the Be'er Heitev addresses, Im Shama V'loi Kiven B'chol Teva, he's referring to that kind of... Yeah, you are following... But over here, I think that this behavior is actually very crucial. If we are thinking about a person who's not able to concentrate throughout the entire reading, you can't concentrate throughout the entire Kiyas HaMegillah. You looked inside, but you didn't, I like the word you used, it's a certain level of consciousness, which is quite, you listened, but you weren't fully concentrated. You know what I mean? You're listening, and you're following, but you're not actually internalizing, is that the right word? You're not focused about what's actually happening, and you could actually miss out. You don't miss out a word, but you miss out what's really going on. You're still yotze. As the Be'er Heitev says in the name of the Magen Avraham. Does that make sense? I think this is a very, very important psak. What do you think about that? Because people sometimes get a bit nervous about it. That I wasn't listening at all. Well, the answer is if you looked inside, you're yotze the mitzvah. I think that's an important rule.
I think you can't ask people to do what they're not capable of doing. And I think that if you're not going to concentrate at a second kriya and a third kriya, and you can spend your day going to different regulars, you're not going to concentrate any better.
I have two proofs for your svara. One svara is what the Gemara says in many places. If something is physically not possible, then the Torah wouldn't oblige that. Point number one. And similarly, we find exactly that svara that you're saying with regards to Shemayna Esra. We're saying nowadays that although there is some level of kavanah which is necessary for Shemona Esra, but we're saying nowadays if you don't have that level of kavanah, you don't go over Shemona Esra again, because second time won't be any better. Yes. Yeah. Are you saying that it's because of that? Well, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like because it's not going to help. Because the Ramos is, I think, the Nusach, it's not going to help. You can do it over again. It's not going to help. It's going to be... Yeah. Well, that's another discussion if it's just which part of Shemona is referring to. Yeah, that's another issue. Yes.
Especially now, this is a level as well.
Right, okay. The general answer to your very good question is the following, which we didn't actually address thoroughly. The basic answer to your question is that Kriyas HaTorah is, according to the majority of the Achronim, is an obligation on the Tzibur. It's a Chovas HaTzibur. A person has the main obligation of Kriyas HaTorah is actually an obligation onto the community, that to have aligning. As opposed to Kriyas HaMegillah, is that the starting point is very different. The starting point is that every person has an obligation to listen to the Megillah. It's a mitzvah de Rabbanon to listen to the Megillah. That obligation is not only, it's true that we like to do it with a tzibur, we like to do it with a beroiv am, with many people together, but the starting point is not the tzibur, the starting point is the individual who has an obligation to listen to Kriyas HaMegillah. It's very different than the starting point of Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah.
The Emma says, I don't want to go into the discussion, which that is a very wide discussion as well. What is the level of shmir that we need to have during Kriyas HaTorah? There is poskim who are very machmir about this. There's a children that Moshe who address that very lechumra, that actually you do have an obligation. If you're part of the tzibur, once you're part of the tzibur, you have actually a very high level. If somebody does miss out, according to many poskim, there is actually an obligation to listen to that part of Kriyas HaTorah. So, without going into that discussion, what was your question again?
In answer to Rob's question, you said that the reason why there might be a different level of obligation with regards to hearing every single word is because of the difference between Kriyas HaTorah being something that's a public field and Kriyas HaMegillah being a private field, whatever.
Correct.
Person.
Yeah.
The question on that is, why should there be a difference between the details of...
Why does that actually make a difference?
Why does it make a difference to the level of humor with regards to missing words?
Okay, the answer to that question is, because if the Torah's obligation is on a person to listen to the Megillah, so that means that a person needs to listen to every word of the Megillah. That's the chiyuv, that's the obligation that Chachamim established. As opposed to if the obligation is to have a Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, that may not reflect, exactly, that's a Chovas HaTzibur, that the tzibur should have a Kriyas HaTorah. The Emma says, what I mentioned now, Ramosha has an interesting approach with that, and there are poskim who take that a bit further, so that once you're part of the tzibur, you actually do have a high level of listening obligation. But that's a second step, that's not the starting point. Okay.
Can I just ask on the previous actual, Mr. Morgan? If someone coughs or sneezes during the Kriya,
what do you think?
Sounds like, according to the Mishnah, you're in trouble because now you can go listen to the Megillah again.
Yeah.
And that's
The answer to your question is, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's certainly, it's not just the Mishnah Berurah, it's the consensus of the poskim, it's certainly a problem. There's aitzes to that. The truth is that if the emissaries, please tell me if I'm wrong. I think that if a person is listening very, very carefully and somebody does sneeze, it won't matter. I think if a person is really listening, tell me if I'm wrong. I think if a person is really listening to the Baal Korah and a person sees on the other side, I think you'll still have heard the word and you're still there. What do you think? Is that not true? If it's next to you, maybe not. But I think that if you can still, from the acoustic point of view, you can still hear the word, I think that you still heard it. Do you agree to that? Not necessarily? It depends. But I think that, I think you're probably right. But I think that often it's actually, you still have heard the Baal Korah as long as you listen. You may have been distracted, and that is a problem. But as long as you're not distracted, you're not focusing and concentrating to the Baal Korah, I think often it's not a problem. Well, sometimes they do. Yeah. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do, yeah.
You could also catch up yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mishnah Berurah is going to mention that later, yeah.
If the Baal Korah is reading very fast, then not everybody can catch up.
True as well. True as well. True as well. So the latest by the next Haman, you'll hopefully catch up. it's a problem. You're right. I had this experience once. I was schlepping on and on and on and on. Finally, by the next Haman, I managed to. It happens, yeah. And because you have to be careful, because we're not such expert, but we're not reading it. You know, when we're reading it, we're not so expert. Our expertise in the reading is not, so we have to make sure that we read it accurately. So often we're not. It's not so easy for us to catch up. Yeah, definitely. But it's something we have to keep in mind. That's an interesting svara. We're going to see, because let's leave this out for a minute, isn't it? It's just annoying. You know, okay, he's saying we're going to get to the Hamans. It's just annoying. You're not the only one to say that. There's others who say similar. We'll get to that. Okay, carry on. Seif Cotton, the Shulchan Aruch top line. The Ein Medaktik in Betoseo. Oh, says the Shulchan Aruch now, a very controversial, if I may say, statement. You don't have to be Medaktik Betoseo. If there's mistakes, you don't have to worry about it. What does that mean? You don't have to be medactic b'to Yisrael. So the Shulchan Aruch continues and he explains that a bit. V'yesh oimrim, if we make a statement that en medactic b'to, you don't have to be careful about the mistakes, he qualifies that. V'yesh oimrim dafke b'toast, a mistake that doesn't matter, he's specifically talking about b'to shaloshen v'enyan echot. It didn't make a difference with regards to the meaning. It still meant the same thing. If somebody reads something that doesn't make a difference, then you're still, we don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Kahu uvda, the three Talmidim, like that incident with two Talmidim, Taviyasv Kemed Rav, who were sitting in front of Rav, Chad Kori Yehudim, one of them, one of the two Talmidim, read the Megillah and he said Yehudim, Vechad, and the other one, Kori Yehudim. One called Yidden Yehudim, and the other one said Yehudim. I wouldn't even know how to pronounce it correctly. Yehudim. V'loy ahad echad minahu. They didn't have to return. He didn't have to return and go back and say the Megillah again, and nor did the other one either. They didn't have to go back. So he said, that's the kind of mistakes that do not matter. Avol tos acher, but a different type of mistake that does make a difference in the meaning. Loy. That's a problem that you have to go back. But they were learning of it that there are mistakes that don't matter. Mistakes that don't mean any, that don't make as far as the meaning is concerned, still the same. That's all right. We don't have to worry about that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Seif Cotton Nun, just to get that very, very important point clear. Says the Mishnah Berurah, first of all, just to get absolutely clear, it has nothing to do with the Ksivas and Megillah. Again, as we mentioned that previously, the Megillah needs to be glad kosher. The Megillah needs to be perfect. It needs to be written perfectly. The Shomayin can be saved. Gimel. Everything needs to be written. Here, it needs to be regards to the reading. If you're making a mistake with regards to the meaning, it doesn't matter over here. So he gives examples of Cotton and Aleph. Yoshav. If a person reads Yoshav, which means sitting, and he reads that Yoshav, he sat, that's a problem. That's a mistake. That you have to go back. Oi, another example. Minoifel le nofal. From falling to he fell. Past tense. That says in Mishnah Berurah, Avikilu dilek oisotevel ekamas. If you missed that word altogether, you can't read something of wrong tense. Past tense. A future tense, these are all things which I'm akiv. You have to go over it again. Now, there is a very interesting shayla over here. What happens? There is a shayla that Ocha Shulchan mentions, fascinating shayla. The Ocha Shulchan asks, can it sometimes be that the pronunciation matters? Same word, read in different ways. Could that be a problem or not? Says the Ocha Shulchan, unbelievable. He brings an example in the Megillah. He says, Ba'a can mean two things. Beis, Aleph, Hey. He brings two psukim in the Megillah, the Ocha Shulchan. He says that Ba'a can, there's one pasuk, it says, Uvazeh, Hanaro, Ba'a El HaMelech. Ba'a is present tense. With this, the Naro, young ladies, Ba'a, come, El HaMelech, to the king. But then there's another pasuk, just a bit later, Bo'erev hi ba'a. So you pronounce it a bit different, ba'a or ba'a. Does that make sense? Ba'a is, yeah, one is ba'a, ba'a El HaMelech, she came. And ba'a El HaMelech means she comes. And Bo'erev hi ba'a is she came. Either present tense or past tense. And says Ocha Shulchan that since the pronunciation of you makes a difference, where you put the dog edge, the pronunciation of you makes a difference, he says it's ma'akev. It's ma'akev. It means something else. So it means that sometimes the word noifel, nofal, Mishnah Berurah's case, you're not yotzeh, but he says even when sometimes you have the pronunciation of the word, it's the only example that he brings in the Megillah, that ba'a and ba'a, slightly, pronounced slightly different. He said that could be ma'akev as well. Present tense, past tense. says that could be ma'akev as well. That's what Shulchan says, it's ma'akev. Ma'akev. And based on that, I want to ask the following shayla. Is the trop of the Megillah ma'akev? If somebody reads the Megillah without the right tune, he's not reading it with the right tune. Does that matter too? He's reading it correctly, accurately, precisely, but the tune is a bit... I'm not talking about off-tune. I mean, that would be the wrong one. I would be the wrong one to judge that anyway. But I'm talking about if it's not the top is not right. Is that a problem? Yeah.
With the exception of Rabbi Ostra, people aren't mucking anymore on the correct epiglottal stops and the shvarnach and the shvarnach and the dagesh, you know, chazak and the this and the that and the iron, the kuf and all the different things which are technically correct, but Ashkenazim just aren't mucking.
Good.
Mucking for hundreds of years.
Very and interesting point.
If you start talking about but we're not mucking. I mean, haven't been mucking, and no one even knows or would be sensitive to it apart from Daniel. And so on that basis,
you're being very unfair to Nachshon Moller.
Okay,
not too. You're being recorded, Rabbi Sai. Can I just distinguish in 2 points you made? What you said about the ayin and the aleph, that the Sfardim are so beautifully medactic, the ches and the chof, which we are not medactic and the Sfardim are, which obviously means that we're doing something wrong, because it can't be that two letters are the same in Lashon HaKodesh. It can't be. And certainly the Sfardim 100% to make
laziness,
a difference. It's laziness. Yeah. Probably, yeah, but we've been lazy for hundreds of years already. Yeah, our great grandparents were lazy. So that's interesting. So that's a very important and interesting topic. Why we don't do it? Because it's clear that we're doing something, But that's not really called pronunciation. I'm referring specifically about the hadgosha of the words, not about the way we say the words, but the pronunciation of the words. Not the letters, but the words. Not the letters, but the words. So the ayin and aleph, I'm not referring to that. Exactly. Yeah. Precisely that. Yeah. So if it makes a difference of meaning, Mishnah Berurah said the Ochshulchan said it's a problem. But about the top, what were you referring to, the top or to the...
Before you get to the top, and I know for a derisive like Shema, you have to say Vahav Tor as opposed to Vahav Tor, because that does change the meaning. And it's
change the meaning.
But are we mucked for anything other than Shema? When it comes to things like that, I mean...
If it changes the meaning, it's a problem. If it changes the meaning, it's a problem. So we have to make sure to go to a Baal Keire who is an expert Baal Keire, like people that you mentioned. It's really important. It's really important. It's really... Yeah. So, with regards to the top, what do you think about the top, the tunes? So, is that a problem or not?
Mistama not.
If you're reading for yourself,
you're reading with the correct music. Technically, correct meaning, then the actual niggun itself is a nice thing.
Right. What do you think? It's a problem or not? If you want to go quick, you know, just quick ones, like 1, 2, 3 ones, they don't do it with the tune properly. Is that a problem or not? It's not a problem. So I'd like to quote to you the Shai Tshuva, the very first Shai Tshuva in Tov Reish Tzadik. I don't know why it ended up there, because really the place to discuss it. So the Shai Tshuva, the very first Shai Tshuva is on page Kuf Nun Dalet. It says the following. I'm Beveis Yehuda, Simel Chof Gemel, Sheesh Medinois, there are countries, says the Shai Tshuva, Shenagu Likrois Abloi Taimim, there's countries that read it without the right, without the tune. There's countries, there's places that read it without the tune. V'lo Yasekein B'minosenu, this should not be done in our countries. Don't read it without the tunes. Imloi, unless Shaloi Nimtza Misho Ideali Kroisa B'tamim. Unless you find someone, unless you really have, if there's no one else available, then fine, go for it without the right tune. But as long as there is somebody who knows the tune, yeah, you must go with the tune. So, and then he continues, אבל מכל מוקם נבדלת צריך לחזור אחר מי שיודע לקרוא סמילס כמשפט הניקוד כמבוא לכמון. But you have to make sure that it's read accurately and precisely that everybody agrees. The Torah שאינן משתנה, but if there is a mistake, that the meaning changes by that mistake, מעקב בקריאה, so that is a serious problem. So we're learning from this Shai Tshuva, that the tune is very nice, the minig is, לא יעשה כן במינוסנו, shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be read in our countries without a tune. It's inappropriate. It's not. But if you can't find anything else, you're definitely yotze. So we're learning from here that it's good and it's important and it's a valuable addition to the kriya to have it right tune, but it's not ma'akev, and it's not, if you can't, it's not a ma'akev, it's certainly not ma'akev. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, yeah, it's true, you're definitely right. I'm not a Baal Koyr, I'm not, but it definitely would help. But you can still read the Megillah accurately without the tune, and that's what the question is.
That's what Shari should have been saying up here. You should do it with the right trot.
Because that would help.
At the very least, you make sure you get that right.
Good, yeah, very good. Yeah, like this, you're going to get it for sure right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, just to finish off, because we won't have time to start Seif Tezvav, an interesting story that I saw about Reb Shlomo Zalman. I think it's a really fascinating story about Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman read the Megillah, although it was the Posse Gadol. He read the Megillah for his mother. He had an old mother called Tzivia. She was a Choshev Rebbetzin herself. And, is that where you got the name from? She was a very Choshev Yidina. People went into her as well. And she was hard of hearing. For many years, she was hard of hearing. Shlomo Zalman always made a point to read the Megillah for her. Shlomo Zalman was a Posseg Adoyer, and we all struggled to find time on Purim. And the Posseg Adoyer, you can imagine how many shilas come, but he found time to read the Megillah for his old mother. And he practiced the Megillah over the last few weeks before Purim to make sure that the Megillah is read absolutely in perfection. He wasn't a Baal Koyra himself, but he made sure that he would read the Megillah beautifully for his mother. At the last couple of years of her life, she was very old when she was living. The grandchildren, and the ones that I saw the story from, the grandchildren, they went up to Shlomo Zalman and they said, she doesn't really hear so well anymore. Even if you go right up to her ear, she doesn't hear so well anymore. She's hard of hearing. She doesn't hear so well anymore. Maybe you don't have to put all that kochs into it. It's time wise and practice and time on. She can't really be out to the mitzvah anyway. Shlomo Zalman on the Zayda. They approached the Zayda and said, it's not really. It might not be necessary. So Shlomo Zalman said, I want to tell you something. I know she can't listen, she can't hear and be yotz to the Megillah with you for years. I know she can't, but I do it to give her the kavod. She deserves that kavod. She's my mother. It's unbelievable. Yeah.